Hello and welcome to GCSE English Revision Pod. We are sitting here recording just after Language Paper 1 has happened.
Yeah, so, it sounded like a pretty interesting paper.
Yeah, lots of happy, smiling faces coming out.
Marketplaces, all that jazz.
A bit about the market. Yeah, sounded good. So, if you are listening today, brilliant. We are, now you've done with Language Paper 1, our next plan is to take you through Language Paper 2. So as we did before, there's going to be quite short episodes, probably only 10 or 15 minutes, taking you through how to do each of the main questions on Language Paper 2.
But as before, it is absolutely imperative that you download the revision pack, which will be linked in the bio of the episode. If you're listening on Spotify, you might have to copy and paste it into a browser. Yeah. Unfortunately, you can't just click on it.
But you know what? I was on a podcast on Spotify the other day, and they did have links you could click on in there.
Did they?
Obviously, it is a way of doing it.
Some people email me struggling.
I will try again and see if I can.
We do our best to answer emails, but yeah. when thousands of people say they can't get a link, just it works for me.
Yeah. But anyway, we are... So, as Mr. Forster has said, download the whole pack. We're not going to be working with loads of different handouts. There is one revision pack. It's called Mr. Forster's English Language Paper 2 pack. Boring name, to be honest. But
it's got a very cute picture of a kitten
does
on the
front. It's
the kitten pack.
Yeah. All right, the kitten pack. So download that now, and then you will be able to follow along with us.
Welcome back.
Cool.
So, very quick word about Language Paper 2. We'll start each episode with a quick overview, of course. It is 1 hour 45 minutes. It has 5 questions. And just like Language Paper 1, it is 4 questions on reading and 1 question on writing.
Yes.
The most important thing is getting your timings right. And for that reason, some people prefer to start at the end, some people prefer to start at the beginning.
Yeah.
Some people start with question 5, some with question 1. That's kind of up to you. The best thing to do is to practice.
Yeah.
But what we're going to focus on today is question 2.
Yep.
And we're going to focus on the skills needed for success. So the first thing I'd like to point your attention to is the title of the paper for AQA. It's called Writer's Viewpoints and Perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
So these will be 2 non-fiction texts that you have to read.
Yep.
So that means that they're, of course, real. These are not made-up stories.
No.
And one of them will be written in the 19th century, a Victorian text.
Yep.
Therefore, the language will be more challenging. So this paper is more difficult than paper 1.
Mm-hmm.
And the title, though, gives us a clue as to what the examiners are looking for. They're looking for what are the two writers, what are their viewpoints on the theme or idea that both texts centre on.
Absolutely. What is it that the writer is trying to say about these things? Much more in Language Paper 1 that you've just finished, probably, it's about the writer's use of language to sort of entertain.
And to create characters and
Absolutely.
Stories. This is all about what's their opinion, what's their argument.
Yeah.
What are they trying to teach us, argue, explain about
these non-fiction
texts. So, yeah. Question 2, therefore, it's only worth 8 marks, so I would spend about 10 to 15 minutes on it, depending, probably including your, a bit of rereading over it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have read both texts already, of course, because this is a comparative question.
Yeah.
And I would spend a little bit longer on the reading on this paper, because
yeah.
you've got 2 long sources to read. And we've both marked this paper for AQA, lots of students just misread them.
Yeah, absolutely. You will do much better overall. I marked this paper last year. I know you marked it 2 years ago. You will do much better if you have approached every single one of these questions with a deep understanding of the two texts. It is worth getting that sort of more in-depth understanding of what the writer is arguing before you take on the questions in this particular paper.
And we'll talk you through an example in this pack in a minute. So the way this episode is going to work, we're going to tell you the skills, we're going to look at a question, we're going to take you through a model answer, then set you up with some ideas for you to have a go at your own one.
Sounds
and there's
good.
3 papers in this pack that you can have a work through, and if you want more, there are plenty more on AQA's website. And we can always, if there's a popular demand, we can always do an episode with some extra papers for you.
Absolutely.
So, let's start then. When you're reading the text, there is a box at the top which always explains exactly, it summarises what the text is about. Why is that a useful thing, Mr. Gelly?
Well, it does a lot of the work for you, doesn't it? It tells you why it's saying what it's saying. And, sorry, that's not what I mean. It gives you a clear overview of what this text is exploring. You are therefore not needing to go through and infer for yourself what the text is all about. It is going to give you that overview of what its general argument is.
Yeah, and I think the great example that I would like to give you is 2 years ago when I marked it, there was a text all about a mother who was missing her son because he's grown up.
Yeah.
It told you that in the summary, and I had lots of students saying that he was kidnapped.
Right.
But it said in the summary, this is a story. This is an article about a woman being upset about her son growing up. So you've got to read that at the top.
Yeah.
So let's get on to question two, the key skills. The key skill for this question is summarising differences between the texts and making inferences.
Now, this is a cruel question because nowhere in the question does it use the word inference.
And yet this is the key skill that we're taught on the exam board training to look out for. This is what decides which band you get into.
Absolutely.
So should we start with what inference is?
Yep.
What is inference?
Inference is when you are essentially reading between the lines. You are picking up the messages from the text which are there, but are not said to you explicitly.
So you walk into a classroom, I'm crying, what can you infer?
That rugby's been cancelled, there's going to be no more rugby.
Yeah, what else could you infer?
That you're sad.
Yeah.
That something bad has happened.
Well, I might have been chopping onions.
That
the
your
truth
wife
is...
has finally seen the light.
The truth is, an inference is based on evidence in the text.
Yeah.
So we'll give you some examples in a moment, but you must be using phrases. So if you turn in your kitten pack to page 3, I've put some little phrases that can help you show the examiner your inferences. Things like, from this we can infer. Mm-hmm. There is the suggestion here that. The writer implies that. This carries the suggestion that.
Yeah.
All of these phrases can telegraph to the examiner that you're inferring.
Yeah, and you'll remind yourself as well. If you've got that phrase sort of ready to go, you're reminding yourself that the key skill you're looking for is that inference.
So it's still on page 3, in the middle of the page. How do I structure a question 2? Well, I've given you in that box a little bit of a 4-step plan. It says A, B, C and D for how you could structure a paragraph.
Yep.
And so I would start with a comparative topic sentence that picks out, that answers the question. I say ATFQ, which means answer the full question if your parents are listening, or maybe...
Answer the full question.
Maybe a stronger adjective if your parents aren't listening.
Mm.
A comparative topic sentence which picks out the overall difference and answers the question. So if the question's on what are their different opinions about sport, you've got to focus on that. If the question's on what their opinions about the weather, you've got to focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
Then what I would do is I'd pick out from source A some quotations and make some inferences based on those quotations that backs up that point I made in my topic sentence. Then I'd have a connective by contrast, however. This is, of course, markedly different from a little phrase like that. And I've listed some of these in your pack. And then I make a point about source B, saying, using quotations, making inferences about those quotations, and saying, how are these different from source A? How are these opinions different from source A?
Yeah.
What are they, slightly different? Are they very different? Because actually, one of the feedback from the exam board was the higher band students didn't just say that they were different. They said, to what extent were they different? Were they very, very different? Were they only marginally different? Were they actually quite similar?
Yeah. And were those differences actually based on a similarity to begin with? So something they both perhaps did, but then did in a different way or explored in a different way.
This will become more clear when we look at an example in a moment.
Yeah.
But the last thing I would say is actually one thing that we've both noticed, Mark, in this paper, is that your vocabulary makes a real difference.
Huge difference.
Because often students saying the same things between level 3 and level 4, between that's the difference between grade 6s and grade 7s, 8s and 9s, often they would make the same point, but the level 4 students would make it in more sophisticated using more sophisticated words. This is not terminology so much. This is just having a broad vocabulary. So all these words you've been learning from our literature podcasts, don't be afraid to still use them. An atavistic description of a man, or, you know, these are things that we can still use. So the question that we're going to look at now, I'd like you to turn in your packs, please, to page 9.
All right.
I'd like you then to read from page 9, source A and source B. But before you read that, let's look quickly at the question, which is on page 11. The question says, you need to refer to source A and source B for this question. Both sources give details about the places where the events occur. Use details from both sources to write a summary of the differences between Aberfan and London.
Great. So go and read those now.
Before you do, Mr. Galley, just let's point out what the students often do wrong.
Mm-hmm.
What's the differences? What are the differences between, Mr. Galley?
Aberfan and London.
Is it between the two natural disasters described?
No.
No, it's just between the cities. So first error that people make is they just compare the sources. They forget to ATFQ.
Right.
So what we'd like to do now, read source A and source B. As you read, underline quotations where you can infer something about Aberfan or about London. Because these are about cities, I'm straight away thinking, are they big, are they small, are they busy, are they dirty, are they clean? What kind of differences can you see? But before you even read the text, remember, read the box at the top of the text that summarises what is it about.
Yeah.
So read the box at the top of the text, highlight quotations about Aberfan in source A and about London in source B, decide what inference you're going to make, and then switch back on the podcast. Pause now.
Hello.
Hello. I hope you've read Source A and Source B, or what we're about to say is not really going to make much sense. If you haven't, listen now.
Yes.
You done it? You better.
I think they have.
I think they have.
I get the feeling that it's now been done, even though this is in the future. I've got a strong sense that this will have been done by this point.
So, you will have read them now, and you'll see that Source A is all about a mining disaster. A disaster in a mining village in Wales in 1966, mm-hmm. where a landslide killed lots of local children at a school. So, Aberfan is a very remote and small mining village in Wales. So, we're looking for quotations about that mining village. Mm-hmm. In Source B, it's all about a minor earthquake that didn't hurt anyone, that was barely felt in London, mm-hmm. Published in 1863, this article. And so, what you'll want to look at is how is London different from Aberfan?
Right.
This is not from your own knowledge of London, so please don't say, I live in London and there's the London Eye. We are only looking for details that we can find in the source.
Yes.
So, some things you might have picked out. Some of the most obvious differences are, of course, the sizes of the two places. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Aberfan is a small village tucked away in a Welsh valley. London is a colossal city, mm-hmm. From these descriptions.
Now, straight away, there's a chance to infer there, isn't there? Because from the writers... The way the writer has described it as tucked away, I know you're not doing language analysis now, but you can infer straight away that it's hidden, that it's not in the public eye. It's not like London and it's the everybody knows about it. It is actually rather a small, hidden away place.
And we could also infer, therefore, that had it not been for this disaster, it would be a place, perhaps, that people would never have heard of.
Right, that is a classic example of inference. So when we're talking about getting yourselves 6, 7, 8 marks... That would be the kind of inference that we're talking about, that if this disaster hadn't happened, Aberfan, unlike London, would perhaps not be famous, right? Not have been heard of. It doesn't say that anywhere in the text, but there is a clear inference to be made based on the information given.
Because likewise, London is described as colossal, so it implies it's huge, it's filled with activity.
Yeah.
And we might think that a place like that would be safe from natural disasters. Mm-hmm. We've also got perhaps a similarity and a difference here, that actually, whilst both have rivers running through them, those rivers are quite different.
Yeah.
Aberfan is as black as the Styx. So from this we can infer that that it's been polluted by the coal.
Right.
The Styx being, of course, the river that runs through the land of the dead in Greek mythology.
Yeah.
Whilst London is muddy and dull, but this is not so much from coal or anything, it's simply from the warehouses along its length. So the rivers, they're both polluted, but they are very different.
Mm.
We've got Aberfan seems harsher living conditions than London.
Yeah.
So we've got the description of the men working in darkness, not knowing the meaning of their own labour.
Yeah.
So likewise, the houses are of... But the houses in the Welsh mining town are described as uniform ugliness in contrast to the well-built London houses. So we've got lots of details we can pick out.
Yeah.
But let's look at a bit of a model answer on page 3. So there is a full model answer to this on page 13, which we don't really want you to read now. There's also a mark scheme on page 13 that it's well worth looking at, because the indicative content for each level talks you through what you have to do to get the next level
up. What it's looking for to drive you.
But if we go back to page 3, let's quickly follow the structure that we outlined at the beginning of this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Comparative topic sentence, detailed point about source A with a quotation and inference, a connective, a detailed point about source B with a quotation and an inference, and overall differences. And let's plug them into our kind of into our little formula.
Yeah.
So let's start with our topic sentence. Perhaps the most obvious difference between London and Aberfan are their respective sizes and locations.
So straight away, you're addressing the question, what's the differences between London and Aberfan? So I'm starting off with this difference where it's to do with where they are and it's to do with how big they are. Once we've done that, we then want to move into the inference, don't we?
Yeah. So let's do the inference from Source A. The writer in Source A emphasises how Aberfan is a small village that few people have heard of. Combined with the idea of it being tucked away mm-hmm. in a Welsh valley, there is thus the clear suggestion that it's almost hidden from view and would have been similarly forgotten in history had it not been for the tragedy. Indeed, we can also infer from the description of the railway tracks as decaying and the canal as disused that, like the British mining industry in general in the 1960s, the place is in decline.
Good. So you've taken your key information, few people have heard of, tucked away, and from that we've inferred that it's not a well-known place. It was made famous by a tragedy rather than it being a nice place to visit or anything like that. And actually, it was a place that was sort of breaking down and quite a miserable place for many reasons.
And one thing to note there is, again, it's saying a lot about a little. It's having a detailed inference. Don't say we can infer that it's not nice.
No.
Tell me a bit more detail about this.
That's where the marks are. And that's another place that students go wrong, actually, from having marked this paper, is they stop when they should just be getting going. They make that first point about the inference, but they don't develop it. They don't say how they can make that inference lead on to other ideas.
The best students often make more than one inference from the same piece.
Yeah.
You can infer this, but you can also infer this.
Then you're really hitting it. Doing the business.
So now we have a connective, by contrast.
Mm-hmm.
And then we follow with a detailed point about source B, quotations, inferences, and comparisons.
Yep.
By contrast, in source B, London is described as a colossal city, and the depiction of it ceaselessly streaming and smoking, with its implication that the city is a hub of activity and industry, stands in stark contrast with the stasis. That's an interesting word that means, we learnt this from Storm on the Island.
Mm-hmm.
Stasis means nothing's happening,
and
general decay of Aberfan. This is mirrored in how the writer emphasises the noises, shocks and tremors are so part of everyday life in the capital that Londoners are always startled to find it calm and quiet. This seems markedly, so very different, markedly different from Aberfan, which is made up of little more than terraced houses and a chapel and pub, a description which clearly implies the valley in which it is situated is quiet and normally quite peaceful.
Good. So there you go. You've done pretty much everything you need to do there. You've got your clear comparison, you've got your information and inferences from each source, and at the end you've ended on another nice point of inference.
So before you have a go at one yourself, I'd like you to look at that one on page 3 in our pack and really, really think, am I writing in that much detail? And if you're not, you're not going to be accessing level 4.
Okay.
So before we finish this episode, let's leave you with one for you to have a go at.
Yeah.
So if you now turn in your source to page 21, 22 and 23, the question on 23, question 2, goes like this. The things to see and do at Glastonbury Festival and Greenwich Fair are different. Use details from both sources to write a summary of the differences. What we'd like you to do now is read those two sources. Start by reading the summaries of them at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Read them through. As you read them, underline quotations that tell us about what you can see and do at Glastonbury and what you can see and do, ATFQ, at Greenwich Fair. And then, following that structure that we outlined on page 3 of the pack, write your own example.
Absolutely. That will give you some really good practice for Thursday. Have a go using everything we've told you today. Have a go at that other one and see how you get on.
And in the pack, for every mark scheme, every paper we include, we've included model answers and a mark scheme. So once you've done that, you can mark your own work, look at it against the different levels, look at the model answer and work out, is it similar? My final piece of advice is this. Do not plan to write a certain number of paragraphs.
No.
Plan to fill the time. One detailed, brilliant paragraph will be much better than 3 or 4 rubbish ones.
Absolutely.
And
yes.
I would simply look at the clock and think, I've got 10 to 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
When I've spent 10 to 15 minutes writing, regardless of how much I've written, I move on.
Yeah. I would agree. Okay, we are going to release another podcast straight after this one where we look at question 3.
You lucky devils.
Exactly, what a day for everyone.
And we'll do more tomorrow.
Yeah, when we will tackle question 4 and question 5, right?
Exciting.
So as always, follow us on Twitter at GRevisionPod and email us at
EnglishRevisionPod@gmail.com.
And we will see you very soon.